that lead me outside the grace of God. But that's up to me. So let's study our lesson this evening. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, we want to first talk about faith and the source of faith. Romans 10, 17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Also, as we're in Romans, let's go to Romans chapter 1 and verse 5. Now, get that in your mind. Where is the source of faith that is acceptable to God? It's from God's word. However, it's not simply mental assent, because in Romans chapter 1 and verse 5, we have recorded for us, "Through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his sake." So faith comes from the word of God, but we need to have an obedience towards that word of God. People can have knowledge but lack obedience. We have to have obedience. Also, turn with me, if you will, to the book of 2 Thessalonians. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, in verse 3, we have this recorded for us concerning faith. "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith," look at, "your faith grows exceedingly." So faith comes from the word of God. We need to obey the word of God. We need to continue in the word of God so that we can grow in that faith. And as we do that, we please God. Now, that being said, as the foundation as to where faith comes from, let's look at some biblical warnings that even though you may have had faith, you can decide to go the opposite direction. So as we look at that, let's go back to Timothy and 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verses 19 and 20, and let's read that together. "Having faith and good conscience, which some have rejected concerning the faith, having suffered shipwreck." So here you had someone who had faith, but they made shipwreck of the faith. Now, if you make shipwreck of something, is that good or bad? I take it to be the latter, wouldn't you? And then he goes and actually names them, "of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, who I delivered to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme." So we know that faith comes from the word of God. We know that we have to obey the faith. But on this occasion, we have recorded, as Paul writes to Timothy, that some had made shipwreck of the faith. Let's go to another passage, this also in Timothy, and 1 Timothy chapter 4. And 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. There we have recorded, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will" what? "Depart from the faith." Where does faith come from? The word of God. But what's the warning? Some's going to depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Again, let's go to a third illustration, and that is, again in Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 6, that some would stray from the faith. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." So look at our chart. We started with faith, but you can make shipwreck of the faith, you can depart from the faith, you can stray from the faith. And let's add one more to this list. Let's go to the passage in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 16 through 18. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and 16 through 18. There it states, "But shun profane and idle babblings, for their increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like a cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort." Look at verse 18. "Who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past." By the way, I think of the 70 AD doctrine there, but we won't get into that study. "Their faith is already past." And listen, "and they overthrow" what? "Overthrow the faith of some." So, source of faith is God's word. But we look at these four warnings as to what happened in the first century as Paul writes about the faith. Again, as we talk about this idea, once saved, always saved, One of the sugar sticks I have seen over the years of once saved, always saved, is John chapter 10. So let's go to John chapter 10 and verses 28 and 29. John chapter 10. Now, there's many more than this, but I didn't want to focus on that part. I just wanted to focus on some scriptures that so clearly teach that we need to stay faithful. In John chapter 10, as the warning is given here and how it's misused, most of the times, those who believe that it's impossible for you to fall, somewhere in the discussion, they're going to give you these two verses. And here's what these verses say in verses 28 and 29. My sheep are, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my Father's hand. My Father, whom I have given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. And the emphasis is, no one will snatch them out of my Father's hand. And brethren, that's true. That's true. But that doesn't teach once saved, always saved. Because you go one verse before that, in verse 27, it goes on, or verse 26, 7, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now, the question I pose, can the sheep quit hearing? Now, see, 28, 29 is based upon continued hearing, continued following. But as God has given me the freedom of choice, I can choose to quit hearing. I could choose to quit following. Well, if I do that, then 28 and 29 doesn't apply to me. However, if I continue to hear and continue to follow, absolutely nothing can separate me from God. So that's my passage. That's my passage, not theirs. Another passage that is used, let's go to Romans chapter 8. In fact, there's many passages in Romans, but I just chose this one. In Romans chapter 8, we have recorded a very beautiful passage. Romans chapter 8 and beginning in verse 37. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And to that I say, amen. How wonderful that is. Boy, that's a comforting passage. But now I'm going to add the word if. That's a comforting passage if it applies to me. Well, how do I know whether or not it applies to me? You see, what people do when they study the Bible, they take select passages that they like. I did that when I was in a denomination. But I found out those select passages didn't apply to me because I hadn't obeyed the gospel. So people take with this very beautiful passage and say, see, once you're saved, you've got God's protection, and nobody can take you away. Well, once you're saved, you've got this confidence. Now let's go back to Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. You see, they like Romans 8, 37 through 39. Look at Romans 8, 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, what? But according to the Spirit. So verse 37 through 39 in Romans 8 is predicated of me not walking in the flesh, but me walking in the Spirit, right? Now, again, I ask the question, can I choose to go back to walking in the flesh? Has God made me a robot that I can't do that? No. But as long as I walk in the Spirit, and how do I walk in the Spirit? By taking the teachings of the Spirit, the sword of the Spirit, and making that a part of my life. In fact, it tells us in Romans chapter 16, let's go to Romans chapter 16, in verse 26, but now made manifest by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations according to the commandment of the everlasting God, listen, for the obedience to the faith. Where does faith come from? The word of God. Obedience to the faith. As long as I obey the faith, I won't fall. The Bible teaches that. And my brethren who always say, well, I hope I'm saved, go home and see where you're lacking. You should have confidence you have salvation. You say, well, I've got this thing I've got to work. Well, keep on working on that. Keep on praying. Keep on growing. But I'm going to tell you, brethren, if you don't know if you're saved, you can't teach others to be saved. And the second thing, it is not teaching that I can't fall. I realize I can fall. I have some close brethren who have fallen. I hope they come back before they die, but they have fallen. These are people who knew the scriptures inside out, who knew them better than I know them, but they decided to go astray. They allowed temptation to overtake them. But as long as I stay true, that Romans chapter 8, verses 37 through 39 is a beautiful passage. Beautiful passage. Now let's continue on and look at some illustrations again of those who strayed or departed from the faith. Remember Demas? Let's go to 2 Timothy. It was interesting as I prepared this lesson, how many times we're going back to Timothy. And 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, it states this. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica, Crete, and Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Now the first part, Demas has forsaken me. Now remember in Colossians 4:14, Demas greets them. Now here, Demas has forsaken me. Well, they say, well, he just forsook Paul. No, it goes on and says why he forsook Paul. He has forsaken me, having what? Having loved this present world. By the way, in 1 John, what happens if we love this present world? Then our love of God is not there. So Demas had turned away from God because he loved this present world. He's not in a good condition as he forsook Paul and the teachings of Paul. Let's go to another illustration. In Acts chapter 20, in verse 30 in the New Testament, it tells us this concerning elders. Remember the elders of Ephesus. Now, let me ask you this. To be an elder of Ephesus, would they have known the truth? Absolutely. At a point in time, would they have followed the truth? Absolutely. Otherwise, they couldn't have been elders. But we have in verse 30, also from among yourselves, who's that? 28, 29, 30. It's the elders. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. Now, let me ask you this. Did they depart? Yeah. They had it, but they gave it up because they wanted to have the top billing instead of giving Christ the top billing. But let's go to another illustration. Let's go to Romans chapter 11. In Romans chapter 11, do I believe I can have confidence? Absolutely. But I believe that confidence is based upon staying true to Christ and his teachings. Are there things I need to improve in my life? Absolutely. And God is patient with me as I work on those things and try to be the person. And the reason I'll get to heaven will be by the precious blood of Christ. But I've got to have an obedient faith. You mean to tell me, Chuck, after 40-some years, you could be lost? Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's why I have to keep on studying and keep on growing. All right, you should be at Romans 11 now. Let's read that. In Romans chapter 11, as we read together, beginning in verse 18. This is now speaking of the Jews who were cut off and the Gentiles grafted in. Verse 18. Do not boast against the branches. Those were the Jews. Don't boast against the branches. But if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well said. Because of unbelief, they were broken off, but you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. Now remember, he's talking to those who were grafted in, the Gentiles. For if God did not spare the natural branches, the Jews, he may not spare you either. Now they had been grafted in. Therefore, consider the goodness and the severity of God. On those who fell severity, but towards you goodness. Look at this. If what? You continue in his goodness. How are you going to continue in his goodness? By growing in the faith. But that's a qualification, is it not? If you continue in his goodness. Otherwise, you also will be what? You'll be cut off. So he's telling the Gentiles, don't get arrogant. Yeah, the Jews had turned away because they rejected the Christ. But that doesn't mean I can't cut you off if you don't stay true to me and my teachings. But as long as they stay true, did they have the confidence they'd have salvation? Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's go to another illustration. In 2 Timothy chapter 4. Back again to Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 3 and 4. There we have recorded. We use this quite frequently. It's a sad situation. For the time will come that they will not endure sound doctrine. I want to stop here. Where do you get sound doctrine? From the Word of God. That's where sound doctrine is. They will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap to themselves teachers. And look at this, verse 4. What have they had? They had sound doctrine, but what did they do? They turned away from it. Look at verse 4. And they will turn their ears away from the truth. John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. They will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Can this happen today? Sure it can. So we have to be careful. We have to understand, yes, I can have confidence, but it's predicated on continuing being faithful to God and his word and growing and being the type of people that God would want us to be. Again, as we look in the scriptures, as we talk about salvation, can I have confidence? Yes, but I can't have blind confidence. Blind confidence is that no matter what happens, I'm saved. No, because God holds you accountable. He does not take away your freedom of choice. You had the freedom of choice to be baptized for the remission of your sins, did you not? And fortunately, most of us have done that. And if you haven't, I hope you do. But after the freedom of choice and being baptized, you have freedom of choice after baptism to live according to the narrow way or live according to the broad way. It's your choice. I can't hit you with a ball bat to make you do that. It's your choice. But you're going to be accountable, Galatians chapter 6, for what you do, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So you say, Chuck, are you saying you're going to get to heaven because you're so good? No, you missed the whole point. The only way I get to heaven is through Jesus Christ and his shed blood. I take that out of the equation, I'm forever lost. But to have Jesus Christ and his blood, I've got to put Jesus first in my life, Colossians 1:18. I've got to do his will. And though he's ever so patient with me, I've got to keep on growing. And if I'm trying to do that, I know he'll help me as I grow. And I know when I pillow my head, if I die this night, his blood will cover me of my sins. But let's look at this passage now as we go on. As we go on, very clearly it teaches one can fall from grace. Galatians chapter 5. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. Now the context of Galatians, of course we're all familiar with this, is that there were some who were trying to teach that you had to go back and add circumcision. These were Jews who had become Christians and they were causing chaos about going back to circumcision. And in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4, Paul addresses this issue. You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by the law. Listen, you have what? You have fallen from grace. So when I hear some of my religious neighbors say, you can't fall, my question to them, how do you answer that question? Did not Paul state to the Galatians, you can fall from grace? Grace means favor. You can fall from God's favor. Now, in that specific occasion, How would they have fallen from grace? By binding circumcision. Because circumcision is not a New Testament principle to follow. So if you bound something that is not God's principle of the New Testament, you're going to fall from grace. If you're going to bind that, then you have to abide by the Old Testament. Now you're in big trouble. Now let's go to another illustration. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians. And 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27. Now, prior to this, it talks about the race, and I've got a lesson I'm working on, the race. So we're going to just do verse 27. But I this is Paul speaking. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Question, very simple. Could Paul become disqualified? Book, chapter, and verse, absolutely. And that is if he didn't continue to run that race, if he didn't continue to control himself and his actions to be in harmony with the teachings of the Word of God, which he was sharing with others. Well, now just stop and think about this. How much arrogance is there for people to think, oh, no, I can't ever fall, when the apostle himself said, I can be disqualified. There's not a single one of us in this audience that qualifies to being an apostle. But this apostle said, I could be disqualified if he didn't control himself in harmony with the teachings of the Scripture. I'm not trying to get mean or rude. It's just so disappointing that people just cling to something that's not there. They develop a false hope. And that's why they don't change their living, their lives, because they think, well, you know what, God's going to accept me. I'm a Christian. I believe, and therefore that. And some of my brethren believe that because they don't grow. We all need to grow. I don't care how long you've been in Christ. We need to keep on growing. There's not a single one of us here. I don't care if you've been in Christ for 60 years, that you've reached the pinnacle. You don't reach the pinnacle. You keep on growing. I keep on growing. Someone asked me when I came here. Well, we know who asked me. It's Brother Clay. Clay asked me when I came here on my lessons. I told Clay I have thousands of lessons. I preached for 40 years. But I have to go back and restudy those lessons. I have to go back and refine those lessons. I have to go back and see if I understood those lessons before I preach them again. And if I was to preach this lesson again, I would go back and see what I might refine, what I might put in, what I might take out. Am I living? As Christians, it's not a one and done. We've got to keep on keeping on. And then I can pillow my head and not worry if I don't wake up the next morning. But let's go to another illustration. Turn with me, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 10. And I use this one because I'll give all these arguments, and here's the answer I get from those who hold that position. Well, preacher, you just don't understand that all those you've mentioned that have fallen or have gone astray, they were never saved to begin with. You ever hear that? They wouldn't have done that had they been saved. Well, let me ask you that. Was Paul saved? I believe he was. But a good example of that is found in Hebrews chapter 10. Let's read Hebrews chapter 10 together, starting in verse 26. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation, which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who had rejected Moses' law died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Now, here's the key. You want to circle a passage, circle 29. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who hath trampled the Son of God underfoot? Now, listen to the next phrase. Counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified. Go back to that. Counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified. Was this individual sanctified? Yes. But what has he done? He's trampling the Son of God because he went back into sin. Was this person saved? Absolutely. But he went back in the wrong direction, didn't he? Counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing and insulted the Spirit of grace. We're talking someone who was saved. Look at verse 30. Verse 30, for we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord, and again the Lord will judge his people. See, that argument don't work. Yes, you can be saved. You can be sanctified by the blood of the covenant. But if you go back to the life of sin, literally you're trampling the Son of God underfoot. That's what it says in here. Can you imagine that? How horrible it was when Jesus died on Calvary's cross for my sins and for your sins. Horrible, horrible. How much more horrible is it today when we have been baptized, we have put on Christ, and then we turn away and live like the world? We are trampling the Son of God underfoot. Well, they were never saved with. Oh, yes, they were. Yes, they were. They were sanctified by the blood of the covenant, and they considered it an unholy thing. How sad that is. That's why I get so frustrated when brethren turn away from the truth and they act nonchalant about it. Oh, well. Oh, well. You're trampling underfoot the Son of God. Oh, well. Or somebody will say, I'll take my chances. That there's no chance involved. It's choice, not chance. Not chance, it's choice. That's what's so sad when people think that, well, it doesn't really matter. Oh, it does matter. But let's go on. And be blotted out of the book of life. Well, let me ask you this. Who's in the book of life? The saved. Would you agree with me? The saved are in the book of life. Turn with me, if you will, to Revelation chapter 3. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 5, we have recorded for us here as he's addressing one of the seven churches, and of course this is Sardis he's talking to here. In verse 5 it states, and he who overcomes shall be clothed with white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life. Now he warned them back in verse 3 that some of them need to repent, that they were not holding fast to the truth, and they need to repent. If they did, they wouldn't be blotted out. Now, there were some who did need to repent, but again, they had to be faithful. But the thing is, you cannot be blotted out of something you've never been in. Right? Were they in the book of life? Yeah. You want to be in the book of life. Your name is in the book of life if you're serving him faithfully. But you can be blotted out. I can be blotted out. How sad would that be as I stand before judgment and know that I had it, and I gave it up. How sad that would be. Do you think that's going to happen to some people? Do you think that's going to happen to some in the body of Christ? But it doesn't have to. That's by choice. That's by choice. So therefore, let's draw a close on these passages. Am I confident? Yes, if. Yes, if I stay true to God and His Word. Now, if you're not staying true to God and His Word, I don't want you to have restful nights. I want you to have upsetting nights. I hope you dream about hell. And you ended up there. That when you wake up the next morning, you want to make whatever changes that are necessary. But if you're living in harmony with His will, you can pillow your head knowing what awaits you if you don't wake up. And that's been my petition to God. God, let me just die in my sleep. Now, I'm not saying God's going to answer that, but selfishly, that's how I want to die. I want to go to bed at night, and my wife wakes me up in the morning, and I don't wake up, and none of you get worried, because the blood of Christ will cover me as long as I'm faithful. as long as I'm faithful. As we close, let's go to these passages. And 1 Timothy chapter 4. Appreciate your kind attention this evening. And again, we're back at Timothy. Isn't that interesting? Actually, I could give this whole lesson just from Timothy. But in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16, we have Paul writing to this young evangelist, "Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine." Now, I understand that. Take heed to yourself. That's your conduct. And to your teaching, what you're teaching. So, yourself and the doctrine, the teachings of Christ. "Continue in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those that hear you." So again, Timothy, take hold to yourself. Make sure you're doing it. Make sure you're living it. And you'll save yourself and those that hear thee. That is, they do the same thing. But let's go to another passage. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. We have recorded for us here in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Look at what it says. "Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith." Remember we started out? When it says examine yourselves to whether you're in the faith, it's not examining yourself in the faith that you think you have. Examine yourselves whether you're in the faith. What faith? The faith that comes from the Word of God. Why? It goes on to state, "Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus and Christ is in you, unless indeed you become disqualified?" Trouble is, people don't make the self-exam. Goes back to our morning lesson. They go by feelings, do they not? I need to go by the faith. I'm not worried someone asks me, "Are you saved?" I'll say, "Absolutely, but let's study that. Let's study that as to what that entails." And they're going to be surprised that it entails you giving it your all. "Well, if I'm giving it my all, then God owes me salvation." Oh, you missed the point again. Listen carefully. God will never, ever owe me salvation. He will never, ever owe you salvation. The minute you and I sinned, we deserve condemnation. God will never owe it to us. But by His grace, He allowed His Son to die for us. By the Holy Spirit, He's revealed us the pattern that we should follow. And we do those things because of that great love. Now, if we ignore that, we lose the blood of Christ. It all goes back to the blood of Christ. But to have the blood of Christ, I've got to do what Christ says. So it's not me. It's Christ by submitting to His will. Because He died for me. I don't know why that's so hard for people to understand. I've used this illustration before, but let's say I was a multimillionaire. And I said, "Well, if you come to my house and you meow as a cat when you come to my house, I will give you $100,000. By the way, this is just an illustration. Don't come to my house and do this. You come to my house and meow as a cat, I'll give you $100,000. And lo and behold, you come to my house, knock on the door, and say, "I want $100,000. No, you didn't follow what I said. You come to my house, you meow as a cat, and you get $100,000. Which one of us in this audience misunderstands that? Not one. Now, did you earn that $100,000? "Well, I came..." Did you earn that $100,000? You mean to tell me, meowing as a cat, you earned? No. You got the $100,000 because I was willing to give it to you. I get eternal life because God is willing to let His Son die for us. But you've got to do it His way. You've got to be obedient to His will. You've got to examine yourselves to see whether you're in the faith. Let's go on. Philippians chapter 2, writing to Christians. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. We have recorded for us here in verse 12. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence," listen, "work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Now, work out your own salvation doesn't mean that I'm such a great person that God owes it to me. Work out your own salvation, I tie that, you might want to also, I tie that to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Now, everybody knows 8 and 9, there's another passage that they take out of context. But in Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared. So I work out my own salvation doing the works which God prepared, right? And doing that, can I have confidence in salvation? Absolutely, because God prepared, this is how you're to live. But a couple more, and then we'll close. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 17. We have recorded for us here in 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter talking to the Christians. We studied this on our Wednesday class. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Verse 14, as obedient children, not conforming yourself to your former lusts as in your ignorance, but as he has called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father without partiality, judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. In other words, make sure you're living a holy life. If I'm living a holy life based upon this teaching, can I pillow my head knowing that nothing can separate me from God? Yes. When my neighbor tomorrow, if he or she asks me, are you saved? Yes. If I'm following God's will. No, if I'm just plain religion. If I'm just plain religion, I just simply deceive myself. But let's go on. Jude 21. Let's go to Jude. Jude, of course, we know, just before Revelation, has one chapter. And in Jude 21, it tells us this. Keep yourselves in the love of God. That's an interesting way, isn't it? Keep yourselves in the love of God. Looking for mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ until eternal life. That's what we're looking for, eternal life, is it not? But to have that eternal life, we need to keep ourselves in the love of God. Well, how do we do that? Well, I'm glad you asked. In 1 John chapter 5, in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3, it tells us this as keeping ourselves in the love of God. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not what? Are not burdensome. Okay, very simple. Do we understand? I'll be saved by the blood of Christ, but I've got to serve him his way, by his book. I've got to make changes in my life, and after I make some changes, I've got to make other changes in my life. And sometimes I do good, and once in a while I slip back, and I got to get back on the right course. Is that not how life works out? Again, that doesn't mean God owes it to me. God gives it to me by his blood through the Son of Jesus Christ. I want us to close with a passage found in 2 Peter. In 2 Peter chapter 1. Listen to what Peter says. In 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 5. But also for this very reason, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And I'm not going to go into detail on this because we're studying this on Wednesday night class, so we'll discuss it in detail on Wednesday. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness love. Now I want to go back to verse 5. Notice who does the adding? I do. That's something I need to do. Verse 8. For if these things go back to verses 5, 6, and 7, does it not? For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to the blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. Look at this. For if you do these things, verses 5, 6, 7, for if you do these things, what? You will never stumble. You don't need to go to a commentary to understand that. It's very clear, isn't it? You do these things, and then he goes on to state this, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly and to the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Don't get befuddled by this word, everlasting kingdom. I'm a part of the kingdom right now, but it's not everlasting here. It's everlasting hereafter. Thank be to God that I can have that hope, that I can have that faith, that I can go throughout life confident, knowing that God will give me strength to handle whatever comes that way. But I've got to submit to his will. And I've got to be humble enough to recognize I need the Lord every day of my life. And I need to take time to take his teachings and make them a part of my life. It is so sad to me to see so many people who won't examine themselves whether they're in the faith because they feel they can't fall. Brethren, friends, you can fall. You don't have to fall, but you or I can fall. If you're here tonight and you're not living in harmony with God's will, you need to repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. We hope and pray you will. If you've been baptized for the remission of your sins, are you still growing in the grace and knowledge of God? Perhaps you're struggling with some things. Keep on keeping on. And you'll overcome that through the strength in Christ and the continued effort. Don't get discouraged. Don't give up. Keep on keeping on, and the blood of Christ will cover you. How wonderful that is, that we have victory through Jesus Christ as we serve him his way, as we stand and as we sing.
Please go home by the way of the cross. There's no one.